Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And it's Sunday, September the 10th. We just had Labor Day this past Monday.
Did you labor on Labor Day?
What is Labor Day all about? Nobody works, but yet they call it Labor Day here in America. That's a good question. Well, we're glad you're with us here this evening. It's 7 p.m. Sunday evening, and you can catch us here every Sunday on New Visions Radio. We want to thank Ray Powers for keeping us on the air all of these years and helping us out at the times we can't be in the studio. It's really a blessing to have him at the helm here and helping us out with this ministry online here. You know, my phone just made a noise. I want to apologize for that. I forgot to mute it. So, Ed, before we start, tell us a little bit about Prophecies of Hope, would you?
Prophecies of Hope, we're a small little ministry in Stanton, Virginia. We are at 1743 West Beverly Street, so stop by and see us sometimes. Mm-hmm. We have services on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and we have a Bible study then, and we also Zoom that online if you're interested.
We have a prayer meeting that evening as well. Yeah. It's pretty nice.
And then right now, I want to say there's a temporary study on Monday nights, but it's more than temporary. It's been going on for a while.
Since January. Since the first Monday in January of 2023.
Right. And it's a study on the sanctuary system of the Bible, looking at the sanctuary system and how it really preached the gospel of Jesus Christ through its symbolism and what it means to us today. And that's at 7 p.m.
7 p.m., yeah.
And that is Zoomed as well.
We Zoom that as well, yes.
And we have our normal church service on Saturday, the Sabbath, starting at 9:30 for a Bible study, and then our worship hour at 11 o'clock.
Yeah. And so it's we also, on the Monday night study, just this past Monday, we wrapped up the 490 years prophecy that's in Daniel. In Daniel chapter 9, it talks
I thought they were studying the sanctuary.
And it all has to do with the sanctuary.
Oh,
isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Yeah, all of those things go together. It's pretty interesting. In fact, speaking of prophecy, we have a prophecy series coming up the 20th through the 23rd of September.
September 2023.
That's this year. So it's just a couple of weeks from now. And that particular Wednesday night, we will not be having a Bible study.
Okay.
But, you know, we will have our guest speaker coming in, Jason Hovey. We hope to have him on the air with us. We actually have a friend in the studio with us right now from Greece, and he lives in Thessalonica, or you call it Thessaloniki, I believe. So he didn't want a microphone, but that's okay. It's nice to have him here.
Yeah.
And he really helps us out with some of the Greek translations from the Bible. And it's been a blessing. But that series, we're going to be covering some of the Bible prophecies, Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 7, Revelation chapter 13, and we're going to overlay them. It's a lot of information.
Yeah.
You know, I've been working on that series. I actually worked on it over the weekend quite a bit, and it's been a lot to cover.
You know, some people may say, well, it's only a chapter or two. But you have to understand, when you study the Bible, you compare Scripture to Scripture. And with prophecy, you compare it to history as well.
Yes, that's right. Understanding the Bible from a historical point of view is so important, because so many people, there are a lot of different ways that people interpret the Bible.
Right.
And at Prophecies of Hope, we look at it as literal history. These things actually happened. And so we take the historical point of view. And then we look at the prophecies as they actually happened the way it said. And then when we look at the things about, for example, prophecies about Jesus coming, we accept that as he's literally coming.
Right.
So go ahead.
You have to understand, not all prophecy has been fulfilled in the Bible.
Correct.
That's why we're studying these books of Daniel and Revelation.
Absolutely. In fact, you know, we were talking about that 490 years.
Yes.
That was actually fulfilled when, right about the time, part of that fulfillment was when Christ came and lived and died and then was resurrected, and then at the stoning of Stephen. All of that is covered. And that's where we are right now in that study on Mondays, and it's really exciting. So we're reading in the book of Acts, chapters 7 through 11. We're reading all of those chapters to get the flavor of it.
Right.
So anyway, but that's a little bit about Prophecies of Hope and some of the things that are going to be going on. We hope that you will tune in. If somebody wants to contact you, Ed, how do they reach you?
You can contact me, Ed, at prophecyhope.com.
Okay, and if you want to email me, you can reach me at the email address, mark@prophecyhope.com. I will tell you, I've been having some issues with that. For some reason, it's not forwarding to where I need it to forward to. So I only get to check that a couple of times a week. Because for some reason I have to do it from a specific computer. So please give me an opportunity to respond if you email. Also, our website is prophecyhope.com, and you can live stream the worship service, like Ed said, and the Bible series,
yes.
Right? So that'll be at 7 p.m. beginning on the 20th of September 2023, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You'll be able to stream that. So hopefully you'll join us there and at least get an idea of some of the things that we talk about
right.
in the Bible, more than what we just do here. So are we ready to begin our studies?
Sure.
So did you want to pray for us, Ed?
Sure. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, again, we're grateful for the love you show us through the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Mm. And Father, as we study these things about salvation through your Son, may you give us understanding of what it means to us personally, how it can affect our lives for the better. Father, so as we understand these, as we study these things in the Bible, give us understanding and guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, Ed, last week we were in Romans chapter 8, and the note that I made here, we had read Romans 8:33. Do you have that?
Yeah, you know, let's read Romans 8:31 through 33.
All right.
And let me read this from the Modern King James Version.
Okay.
Starting in verse 31 of Romans 8. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Truly, he did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifies.
Hmm. And last week you asked a question. You said, what does it mean to be justified?
Right.
And so you said, for the answer, let's go to Romans chapter 3.
Right.
And we finished out last week by reading some verses there. I think it was it verse 19?
19 through 31.
And did you have that also, or did you
yeah,
want to read it?
Yeah, let's go ahead and turn there.
Romans chapter 3.
And see what chapter 3 of Romans says about this idea of justification.
Okay.
It is God that justifies. Again, this is the Modern King James Version, verse 19 of Romans 3. But we know that whatever things the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may be under judgment before God. Doesn't exclude anybody.
Hmm.
Because the works of the law, because by the works of the law, none of all flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law is the knowledge of sin. But now our righteousness of God has been revealed apart from the law, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through the faith of Jesus Christ towards all and upon all those who believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has sent forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness through the passing by of the sins that had taken place before in the forbearance of God, for the display of his righteousness at this time, for him to be just and forgiving the one being of the faith of Jesus. Where then is the boasting? It is excluded. Through what law? Of what works? No, but through the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the works of the law. Or is he the God of the Jews only, and not only also of the nations? Yes, of the nations also. since it is one God who will justify circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith, do we then make the law void through faith? Let it not be, but we establish the law.
So there's a lot to unpack here, Ed. Help us understand this a little bit.
Well, at the end, it's talking about being justified by faith.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What faith?
Well, in my Bible, in verse 22, it says in the New King James, or the Authorized King James, and you use the modern, even the righteousness of God through the faith of Christ Jesus. Mine changes that word to in. So the faith I need to have is the faith that Christ had.
Yes. That also includes believing that Jesus is the Son of God. Believing
yes.
that his sacrifice on the cross is the way I become justified before God. It's through his perfect life, not mine.
It's not by what we do.
No.
Right? It's by who we know and by actually doing the things that he did. Living my life the way he lived his life.
Right. We find that, again, going back to Romans chapter 5, verse 10. Let's just go there
sure.
real quick. Because there's two components to salvation
okay.
That we don't talk about a lot. Let me just read verses 6 through 10.
Okay, this is Romans 5,
Romans
right?
5. For we yet being without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. The ungodly is those who are disobedient to God. That's me.
Right.
When we were without strength to become obedient to God, we couldn't do it on our own. Mm. That's when Christ died for me. For one will with difficulty die for a righteous one, yet perhaps one would even dare to die for a good one. But God commends his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for me.
Hmm.
Much more then, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies to God, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life.
Hmm.
So being reconciled, being justified by his blood, we're saved from God's wrath from that.
Mm-hmm.
But notice here, there's a second part to it. Having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life.
Yeah, that's the last part of verse 10.
So we're justified by Christ's death. We're reconciled to God through his death, but we're saved by his life. The life that he wishes to live in us. What we've been talking about in Romans chapter 8.
Mm.
Walking in the Spirit, not walking in the flesh.
Yes. So, again, you know, just to make sound this down a little bit, when you began there in Romans chapter 3, verse 19, it says, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under law that every mouth may be stopped and that the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified, there's that word,
yeah.
in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin.
You know, there's some important points we need to make here.
Sure.
The Jews took pride in their nation and that God had given them the law.
Yes.
The Ten Commandments. The law of Moses, which was Moses dictating what God wrote to him.
Right.
They took pride in that. So in that sense, they were identified with the law of God, the nation that had the law of God. Does that mean everybody else is excluded from God's law?
No. We have to keep in mind that that law existed before then, but he actually gave it to them because they had come out of captivity, and he was trying to re-instruct them in his ways from the past.
Right. Not only that, they were to be evangelists.
Yes.
And spread the knowledge of God
to the world.
The nations around them.
Yeah.
To the world. So let's go to Romans 2.
Okay.
It's interesting. All this stuff is in Romans.
Yeah, it is.
Romans 2, verses 12 and 13. 14, 15.
Romans 2.
16.
12 through.
12 through 16.
All right.
Actually, we could read.
Well, yeah, we'll start wherever you want
just
to start.
Just start with verse 12. Read through 16
you,
for now.
You want me to read it?
Yeah.
All right. So this is Romans chapter 2, beginning in verse 12. I'm reading from the New King James. It says, "For as many as have sinned without law will also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience being also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them, in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel."
So everyone is going to be judged by the law or through the law. Because if you sin without the law, you'll perish without the law as well.
It points out the sins.
Right.
That's what it does. It lets us know where our downfall is, right. What's right and wrong.
So it says the nations aren't excluded from this. But notice what it does say. Verse 14, "For when the nations who do not have the law," remember the law was given to the Jewish nation,
right,
on Mount Sinai, not that it excludes everyone else.
Right.
"Do by nature the things of the law, these not having the law are a law unto themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts."
Yes.
What's the new covenant, Mark?
It's Christ in you. It's actually the law written in our heart.
Yes.
And that's what Jeremiah
pointed. Our hearts and minds.
Yeah, that's right.
This is the new covenant. Do you have a text for that?
For Christ in you?
For the new covenant.
For the new covenant. Yes. Hold on just a minute. I was thinking in another direction.
Okay.
But before we go to that text, and you might have to find it because my mind was
right
when you had read here in Galatians, in Romans chapter 2, you read here, let's see, verse 14, "For when the Gentiles," I think yours says nations,
uh-huh,
"do not have the law, by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts." This is where you're going.
Right.
But I wanted to point this out. This talks about, you mentioned how this was given specifically, it was handed to Moses to give to the Israelites, right, to the Jewish people. But we live in the United States, and in the United States, if you go to the capital of the United States, which is Washington, D.C., you will find God's law, the Ten Commandments, written all over many buildings.
Mm-hmm.
You will find it in many places. So, you see, that law is known. It's just not followed.
Right.
It's just not kept. We don't live up to it many times. You know, we live in a nation that's considered a Christian nation. The United States has been dominantly Christian for many years. It was established by Christian people, yet we have people that are trampling all over the law of God.
Right.
And really, there's no excuse for that, because we know inherently, and we know it because we've seen these things, most people recognize what's right and wrong.
Yeah, I think you're talking about Romans chapter 1.
Okay, yes, Romans chapter 1.
Yeah, where
verse 20
says there's no excuse for not knowing God, because he's put it inside of us, that knowledge inside of us, and we can see it through the things he has created.
Right. Yeah, that's Romans
1:20. That there is a God and he exists, and, you know.
Yes. So we were going to look at a new covenant scripture.
Yeah, I've found mine in Hebrews 8. I know it's in Jeremiah as well.
Yes. Okay. Hebrews 8.
So I want to read verses 7 through 11.
Okay. I think that repeats what Jeremiah said, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Hebrews 8.
Verse 7 to start with.
I'm there.
"For if that first covenant had been without fault, then no place would have been sought for the second. But finding fault with them, he said to them," the finding fault is with the children of Israel,
mm-hmm,
"Behold, days are coming, says the Lord, and I will make an end on the house of Israel and on the house of Judah, and a new covenant shall be, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day I took hold of their hand, to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I did not regard them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Mm-hmm. And they shall not each man teach his neighbor, and each man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest.
Yeah, all shall know me. It doesn't say just a few.
Right.
Right.
So here we see that the problem with the first covenant was the children of Israel did not continue in the covenant.
Yeah, it wasn't a problem with the actual covenant.
Right.
And it was the matter that they just didn't do what they were supposed to do. They didn't live up to the agreement that they made with God. They made that agreement
right.
with him. They accepted it.
Yeah. So instead of having an external law, mm-hmm. external to you, external to me, the second covenant or the new covenant is God putting his law into our minds and writing them in our hearts.
In other words, he's trying to make it to where the desire that we have is just to simply obey him. He's trying to make that simple for us.
Do you know that the Bible says that Christ was made a covenant for us?
Where does it say that?
In Isaiah 42.
Let's take a look at that. Isaiah 42?
Yeah.
All right. It's interesting, isn't it, that this is mentioned in the Old Testament.
Right. Now, verse 41 starts out, Behold, my servant, talking about Christ.
Isaiah 42?
42:1.
Okay.
And it says, I have put my spirit on him, and he shall bring out judgment to the nations. Going down to verse 6, it says, I, Jehovah, have called you in righteousness, will hold your hand, will keep you, and give you for a covenant of the people, for a light of the nations, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness out of the prison house. The prison of sin is what he's talking about, to open our eyes. Christ was given to us as a covenant, and that covenant is how God writes his law into our hearts and minds.
So a covenant is a contract or an agreement, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, in other words, this covenant, you know, it uses the word light. And I think Matthew chapter 5, let me just look that up real quick. Where was that word light? It was in verse 6. Was it verse 6 or 7 where you read that? What did it say again?
I'm not there anymore.
Oh.
So.
Let's see. You read that.
Starting in verse 6.
Okay, 42:6. I, the Lord, or I, Jehovah, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles. And then, you know, I think about here in Matthew, I think it is chapter 5. I'm turning there as quickly as I can. And I think it's verse 14 where you notice it says there, a covenant to the people as a light to the Gentiles. Jesus says here in Matthew 5:14, you are a light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Yeah. So it shows that this covenant was to be shared with everyone. Everyone was to obey God. Everyone was to come into this agreement. But it's not something that's forced on people. They have to accept it.
It's offered as a free gift, though.
We talked about that last week,
yeah.
The gift that God has given us in his Son.
So when we go back to Romans 8, I want to read verses 31 through 34 again. Romans 8. What then shall we say to these things? Is if God is for us, who can be against us? Remember, God sent his Son.
Yes.
He gave his Son. Truly he who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him, with Christ, also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he condemning? It is Christ who has died, but rather also who is raised, who is also at the right hand of God, who in it also intercedes for us.
Hmm. So, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and we mentioned it last week.
Yeah.
Jesus is our mediator, our
intercessor.
Our intercessor. he's actually our high priest, right?
He's our advocate.
Our advocate.
And our comforter.
And our comforter. And he's our high priest.
Yes.
So all of these things that we see, you know, for example, in the Old Testament, when we see that there was a high priest, Jesus came and fulfilled that responsibility. Instead of an earthly priest, we now have a heavenly priest. We have many advantages now that they didn't have at right. that time.
Yeah, you know, I guess we should talk about this, the difference between a heavenly priest and a high priest, you know, and see what the difference is. If we go to Hebrews
okay.
chapter 10,
all
it
right.
tells us about that. And Mark, if you could read verses 1 through 16.
1 through 16, yeah. Okay. That's a lot of reading. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. It says, "For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshippers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure.' Then I said, 'Behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God.' Previously saying, 'Sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for your sin you did not desire nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law,' then he said, 'Behold, I have come to do your will, O God.' He takes away the first that he may establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us after he had said before, 'This is the covenant that I will make with them in those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them.' Then he adds, 'Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin.'" So, what are your thoughts there, Ed, on this text?
Keep reading.
Keep reading.
Those are
okay.
my thoughts.
How far? tell me where to stop. I'll just keep reading. You yeah. stop me when you're ready. Right. So we're picking up in verse 19 here, Hebrews 10:19. It says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Okay.
25.
Keep going. Okay. "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you behold the day approaching."
Remember we read in Romans chapter 3, "The just shall live by faith"?
Yes.
When we look at Hebrews 10:22, it says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies having been washed with pure water."
Mm.
To remove that evil tendencies from our hearts and minds.
Right.
That's what the sacrifice of Christ has done for us, because he's now our high priest. God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts.
Yes.
And now we can experience Christ in our lives and our hearts and minds daily to help us live a life differently.
Yeah, in fact, we in Romans chapter 8, which the chapter that we're studying right now, it says, "For this is verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." Yeah. So we get this by Christ coming into our heart.
Right.
That's how we, and I think Galatians actually says it more clearly, doesn't it? Is it in Galatians that it talks?
Yes, chapter 4.
Chapter 4. You always remember that text, Ed, and I always have trouble with that. But so this is really important, because keep in mind, friends, that the Old Testament sanctuary where the high priest was coming in, they, like it said in this text we just read, they had to do that day after day after day after day. And now we have a high priest that has died once,
yes,
for all time. And we have to remember this. Unfortunately, people think that's a license to sin.
Well, you know, something that's difference between the old sanctuary services and the Old Testament, where daily they had to offer the offerings.
Right.
It didn't cleanse their minds from sin. It didn't cleanse their conscience.
So explain that a little bit. I understand what you're meaning, but for the listener. So when I think about, you know, okay, how do I get my conscience cleansed? You know, we've talked about Christ in you, and we've talked about this high priest, and we read a text just a little bit ago about being saved by his life.
Right.
I think that's in Romans chapter 5. So
I'll just go back to Hebrews 10:22.
Okay, this is really important. And
let us
why
draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies have been washed with pure water.
Okay.
It's like we talked about in Romans 6.
Mm-hmm.
When we're baptized into Christ, we're baptized into his death and raised into a new life with him.
Absolutely.
And that's what changes our hearts and minds. When we have that desire to be with Christ, to become obedient to God, it was Christ who has the experience on this earth, who was tempted in all ways like us, but was yet without sin. He can help us with the difficulties we find ourselves in our lives. He can cleanse not only our hearts and minds, but as well as the cleansing our bodies from the sin that we have done in our lives.
You know, I think the best way to achieve this is through prayer, study of God's word, and following the model that Christ left. And at first, that's not easy.
Right.
Because we have things in our lives that might be hard to lay down.
Addictions.
Absolutely.
And I'm not talking about drugs or whatever,
right,
but addictions that what we watch on YouTube,
you know,
music we listen to, all affects us.
The language that we use, right?
If you want to be cleansed from these things, you have to remove yourself from these things.
Right.
Because it's going to continue to influence you.
Absolutely. And so, you know, I don't know, years ago I played in a band and I would play music, and I always liked to surround myself. It wasn't hard to find musicians that were better than me, but I always liked to surround myself with people that played better than I did, because it caused me to not only want to play better, but it caused me to kind of step up a little bit. So surround yourself with people who want to walk with Christ. That's what Hebrews 10 tells us, not to forsake the gathering of ourselves.
I was just going to say that.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to take that from you.
No, you're fine.
So, you know, surround yourself with people that want to live a clean and moral life, and that will help you.
People have an effect, an influence on each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, talk about peer pressure.
Oh, yeah. It's very prominent today.
And so those you hang with, those who you're friends with, those who you do things with, their beliefs and their ideas and their morals will affect you.
They'll rub
time.
Off on you. They will. Yeah. And it can be...
Their language will rub off on you.
Yes. And it can be an erosion too, in a negative way. Or it can help you in a positive way. Either way.
Right.
We have to be aware of what's going on around us. So, Ed, what you said, the YouTube videos I watch, the news media that I listen to, the things that I let influence me, all of these can change my character and adjust my thinking, but I want to be according to God's word.
Those things you see and learn on the internet, social media, that preach against God's word,
right,
tell you these things are okay to do when God's word clearly says don't do those things.
Right. And, you know we've talked about this before. Just the other week in the Bible study, I mentioned this, but you might say, well, that's easier said than done. How do I find people, how do I find people that want to live this way?
Yeah.
One way is, find a study group, a Bible study group.
Right.
A lot of times, and even here, you have to be careful, even in a church, mm-hmm. you have to be careful because there's just... there are people there that want to do just as bad as there are many people there that want to do good.
There's, for some reason, there's some teaching in some Christian churches that once I've been baptized, once I've been saved, air quotes, I can do anything I want.
Yeah, that's
is that
dangerous
really
thinking.
Walking after Christ, walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh?
No, not at all. Not at all. And so there are things that we might have in our life that we need to completely change, that we need to lay down, and it's not necessarily going to be easy.
No, but we have this wonderful gift God has given us, and that's His Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God has sent Him into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, crying to the Father to help us in our time and needs.
Yeah.
He's our intercessor. He's our mediator. He's our comforter.
Yeah. So I guess the point is fill your life, fill your mind with spiritual things. If we leave a void, if we leave an empty space, Satan's going to try to put himself there. So, we have to be careful the things that we listen to, even the music choice that we have. Music is a powerful instrument, a powerful tool that the devil uses today. Lyrics and even the some of the syncopated rhythms make people want to move in ways that may not be appropriate.
Yeah.
And it's something to think about.
I was thinking about this very thing this morning, is in that even if you go to watch a sermon on YouTube or go to find out how to fix something on your car, which is YouTube is a great resource for that.
It is, yeah.
Use it all the time. There's still other stuff there that will be flashed in front of you
that can
lead you in the wrong directions. So even when your purpose is to do good things, you still have to be careful.
Yeah, these things, they use what they call algorithms. Well, sometimes you may not even have looked at any particular website or even been anything like that. They'll just flash up sometimes just because,
if you allow your information to be broadcast through Google, like how old you are, your gender,
right,
that will influence what they send to you.
That's true.
And being a male, they tend to send very inappropriate stuff to
you. Yeah, they do. They do. So we have to be really careful about the things. If we want to be a new creation, then I have to get rid of the old personality.
Yeah.
I have to. You can take an old car and you can fix it up, but it'll never be a new car. But the beauty of it is when we're told that we will be a new creation, that means that when Christ is done with us, He can polish us up and make us to where we are absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
He can make it to where, believe it or not, some might balk at this, but he can get us to where we no longer sin. And that's the whole idea. In the new world, there's not going to be any sin. In the heavenly courts, there will be no sin. So He has to get us there.
Yeah, the Bible talks about being a new creature in Christ, the new creation. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5.
Okay. Yeah, let's look at that. 2 Corinthians, did you say?
Yeah. And I'm going to read verses, starting in verse 14. I may go all the way to the end of the chapter.
All right.
It says, "For the love of Christ constrains us, judging this, that if one died for all, then all died. and he died for all, that the living ones may live no more to themselves, but to him who died for them and having been raised. So as we now know no one according to the flesh, but even if we had known Christ according to the flesh, yet we no longer know him so. So that if anyone is in Christ, that one is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Mark, if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6,
okay,
let's talk a little bit more about a new creation. Can you read verses 9 through 11 of 1 Corinthians 6?
Sure, and then I want to come back to a verse here after we do that. So 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Okay, it says here, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." So that's made new.
Isn't that good news?
That's very good news.
We don't have to stay where we're at.
Yeah. It doesn't say that we keep doing these things and are saved.
Right.
It says such were some of you.
You've been washed.
You've been washed.
You've been baptized into Christ.
And again, that doesn't mean, you know, well, I've been washed, so that's my safety net. Don't think of it as a safety net. It's kind of like a tightrope guy, right? When they're first, some of them use safety nets, but the ones that are really doing it the way they should don't use a safety net. They walk that tightrope without it. But go ahead, you were going to.
No, go ahead.
I wanted to go back to, you were in 2 Corinthians.
Corinthians chapter 5.
Chapter 5. And where did you start again, Ed? What verse did you start? Verse 12?
I started in verse 14.
Ah, I wanted to make this point. I think this is important. It says in verse 15, "And he died for just a few?"
No.
"Only for the righteous? Only for those who are all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and I'm sorry, for him who died for them and rose again." This is so important that we understand this. You might think, I had somebody recently that I was talking to that said, "I just feel so lost. I just feel so dirty. I have done these things." What's this verse saying? Christ died for them.
Yes. He can cleanse you.
He can cleanse. It doesn't matter what you
have
done.
Heal your heart.
That's it. That's it. And the thing is, we have to leave behind those things that we were doing. That's what we just read in 1 Corinthians 6. So you might say, "But it's so hard. My desire is to want to keep doing those things."
Yeah.
We read that's what Paul said.
In Romans 7, that's what he said. But his answer, the solution to that, is in Romans 8, where we are right now.
Where we're studying right now.
"There's no condemnation to those that are in Christ, who walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh."
That we can't, see, we can't stop short of saying that whole thing, can we? So when it says, "who walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh," it takes us right back to Galatians 5 again. You know, I know we've read that dozens of times.
Yeah.
But we need, friends, this is so important because I have friends that I love dearly, and they feel like I can continue doing what I'm doing because Jesus has my back.
I've been saved.
Yeah, I've been saved.
I've been born again.
That's what, and they stick with that. And
but if you've been born again, isn't that a new person?
That's a new person.
Right? Not the old person that used to be?
Yeah. We're not going to be doing those things because we've been washed. So Galatians 5, and Ed, do you have that? Verse 16, right?
All right. Verse 16. This is the modern King James Version. "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." If you want to overcome those things in your life, walk in the Spirit. Have Christ in your heart.
Amen. That's what that says, isn't it?
That's what it's saying, yes.
Yeah.
Verse 17, For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these things are contrary to one another. At least whatever you may will, these things you do.
Yeah, mine says so that you do not do the things that you wish.
Yeah.
Right? In other words, it's going to be a struggle. It's not going to necessarily be easy.
Galatians 5:18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are clearly revealed, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lustfulness, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, fightings, jealousies, angers, rivalries, divisions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and things like these, of which I've told you before. And as I also said before, they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Mm. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Mm. But those belonging to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit.
Okay, so you notice the first of the fruits of the Spirit in verse 22 is love.
Yes.
I don't think that's by mistake. I think that's listed. I don't think these are necessarily in any chronological order, but love is first. And the Ten Commandments is what? It's all about
love.
Love.
Those commandments are to protect us in our life.
Yeah.
To give us an idea how to live our lives so we don't experience the consequences of breaking God's law.
Yeah.
Look what happens if someone commits adultery and it ruins their family. There's divorce, separation. The kids are very traumatized. But if you were just be obedient to God and His law, you wouldn't have to experience those things.
Amen.
It's there for our protection.
It is. And that goes with every commandment.
Yes.
Every commandment falls under the law of love. Every single one. So that's why when I read this, I don't think that Paul just inadvertently said love first. I think he was inspired to put love first.
God is love.
Absolutely.
He sent His Son out of love.
Amen. So it's love. And then think about these other fruitages for a moment, these fruits of the Spirit. Joy. You know, joy is something that we don't find a lot. We find this fake joy in the world today, temporary joy. But we're talking about eternal joy. We're talking about joy that is beyond what you can imagine when you come to Christ.
It's like a peace within your heart.
Absolutely.
That kind of joy. It's not something, I guess it could be exuberant, but it's not that all the time. It's just this joyfulness because every day you see what God has done and is doing in your life.
Yes. And that's why I think peace follows, because that joy brings peace. Knowing Christ and knowing the prophecies that we know from the Bible, knowing what Jesus has done for us, is doing for us, and will do for us.
Yeah.
It just, that's what allows me to be able to cope with the world that we live in today. You know, how often have you turned on the news or heard a radio report where it was really something that was pleasant and good and uplifting? Does that happen often?
I don't know if it's a money-making reason. They just try to draw people into all the bad things that are happening.
Yeah.
So-and-so got murdered or whatever, you know.
It gets you worked up. It's not peaceful whatsoever. And then long suffering. So I feel like, we're all suffering long in this world.
That's for sure.
But it's to be able to deal with those things. Long suffering is a coping mechanism that God gives us if we have that fruitage of the Spirit, to be able to deal with that.
You know, sometimes it's hard to do. Like I told you this the other day, I was working on getting some shingles for my shed roof.
Mm-hmm.
What an experience and frustration with a big box company that I was told, you better go pick up your stuff now or the order's going to be canceled. So when I picked it up, everything was in except for the shingles. They marked it as though I had picked them up already.
And you hadn't.
I hadn't, and it created a huge problem. So I was kind of brooding over this as I was walking later that evening. And I have my normal routes that I take on my walk.
Mm-hmm.
And I go to the end of one street, and I turn around there. And as I was turning around, I look down the ground, and then there's this knife blade.
Really?
That has a hook on it. You know that you put in like a box cutter?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's made for cutting shingles.
Really?
Yes. I thank God it was trying to comfort me in my frustration, saying, hey, I'm still here. I'm still in control. You know, don't worry about it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, so this long suffering, see, for me, going through that process, I was just telling you today of something that has happened to me this past week. And, you know, it can cause you to lose self-control.
Yeah.
So all of these fruitages of God's Spirit kind of overlap, don't they?
Yes.
And one rolls into the other. Kindness. It's hard to show kindness with someone when you're suffering over something that they're doing to you.
Right.
But I love that, what you just told about that.
You
box
know,
cutter.
When we personally experience God's love, God's care in our lives, God's salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ, that can allow us to share some of these things with others, that we can treat other people with long-suffering, with kindness, with goodness, even in spite of what's going on in our lives, because we've experienced that from God.
Yes. And, you know, here it talks about faithfulness, being faithful to God. You know, God is faithful to us.
Yes.
And people might say, how is God faithful to us? Well, you know, I'd never worry about the sun coming up tomorrow. I know it's going to come up.
Yeah.
And I never worry about the sun setting at the end of the day. I don't worry. You know, God has been faithful to me in that I woke up this morning.
Hmm.
And he was faithful to me in bringing me here that we could do this program.
Right.
And there are so many ways. God is faithful in sending his Son for every single person to give everyone the opportunity for eternal life.
Not only did God send his Son to experience what we experience as human beings, to die on the cross for my sins.
Yes.
He's also sent him again into my heart.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. And that's what we were reading in Romans. This is part of the born-again process.
This is the sanctification, the cleansing, the being washed by Christ.
So, and this is through Christ in you, this is how we can overcome these things. You literally, your personality changes.
Mm-hmm.
It literally changes. And it's not just something that, it doesn't happen instantaneously. It's not like, oh, well, I've been saved or I've been born again and now I've arrived. No, it's a process.
It's an experience. It's a relationship, a growing relationship.
Right. When it says you have been washed, you know, I don't just step into the shower and step out and say I'm clean.
Yeah.
It's a process, right? And depending on the amount of dirt that's on me, and let me tell you, I'm dirty. I need to be washed thoroughly.
Yeah.
And really, this is a daily walk.
Yes.
You know, I don't take a shower once and say I'm done.
You know, invite Christ into your heart. Do it daily. Mm. Do it moment by moment as you need it.
Yes. You know, it's a habit of mine every morning when I get up. I try to walk every day. And while I pray typically before that, during that walk is just, it's such a nice quiet time. Try to find quiet time to pray if you can. This is my suggestion to anyone listening. And you might say, well, you know, when I pray, I'm supposed to have my hands clasped and my head bowed. You know, I pray driving down the road. Windshield time is a great time for me to pray.
There can be some advantage to some formality as, you know, kneeling and praying. Mm-hmm. Kneeling, recognizing the authority of God in your life, but also the power of God to do anything in your life.
Right.
To help you in your time of need. But we're also in a relationship with God and his Son.
Mm.
We should be able to talk to God as we talking right now back and forth.
Absolutely. If you've ever had something happen in your life and you thought, oh, I've got to call so-and-so and let them know what happened. Yeah. You know, there are things that happen in my life and I just say, thank you, Father. Thank you for this. This is amazing what you've done in my life. You probably felt that way when you saw that box cutter.
Yeah, I knew it was an accident. I've been walking this route since 2008.
Wow.
And I've never seen one of those on the ground before.
Yeah, that's 15 years.
Yeah.
And you had this experience with the shingles for your shed, and then you found that.
Yeah. I think it was just a form of encouragement from God.
You know, Ed, we have about 1 minute left. And
yes, let's go back to Romans 8 real quick.
Okay, take us back to Romans there.
Romans 8. So we've been talking about the love of God and the love of Christ. Verse 35.
Okay.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Can anything separate us from the love of Christ?
No. We only ourselves. He loves us, but we cannot love him.
Yeah.
But he will always be there for us if we just invite him in. He stands at the door and knocks,
yes,
doesn't he? Maybe we can pick up there next week.
Okay.
And this has been a great study. Let's have a closing word of prayer, shall we? Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the gift of your Son. And we thank you that we can be washed if we just accept him and allow him to dwell in our hearts. Father, may each person who is listening make a decision. May they make a decision today, right now, to follow Christ, to allow him into their hearts, to want to make the change, to want to be more like your Son, Jesus. And Father, I just ask that you will be with each person listening. Be with us until we come together again. And we ask for a blessing upon this new week. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So thanks, Ed, for the study. It's really good. We'll pick up next week. And friends, we hope you join us again next Sunday, 7 p.m. right here on New Visions Radio. And until then, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.